Happy New Year.
Sorry, I know it's late, but I haven't seen you all since December. So, you know, as I'm sure I'm going to see some aunties and uncles in March, and they're still going to say Happy New Year. It's the first time you see someone, you say it. How was everyone's Christmas? Great, lovely, lovely. Did we enter his rest this Christmas? You know, the last service we were here, Dr. Scholler spoke about entering rest, being intentional about rest and sleep. Did we enter his rest? Because he invites us, doesn't he? He invites us in his word. He says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, you know, and I will give you rest. So did we accept it?
Yes.
I think some people are adamant it was a yes. If you haven't, there's still more time. Funny enough, our first Bible study of the year focused on entering his rest. And you know, sometimes we enter 2026 with all sorts of goals and things that we want to do. But entering his rest is first, so he can replenish us so that we can walk in his purpose. So it's not too late to enter that rest. Get your 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Your body will thank you for it. As you can see, Dr. Scholler is not here today. I'm sorry that I didn't bring her along. She is in Nigeria enjoying the sun with my dad and my grandmother. But she sends her love. She'll be back for the next and final, actually, session that we have with you in February. But today, instead, I did bring my firstborn. He's not my actual firstborn, he's my youngest brother. There's a 10-year gap between us, so he was my baby. When he was born, he was my baby. But Micah is with me today. Micah's one of three brothers that I have, and he's come along. I don't know if it's willingly. I've taken him from our home church to come and help me to get some images and things like that and some videos to prove that we came here today, because Greenwich obviously are watching us very closely. Micah. Anyone read the book of Micah, actually? Yeah, me neither. Me neither. But I'm planning. One of my goals this year is to study 10 new books of the Bible. And I haven't read a lot of the minor prophets. And I don't know if anyone knows, you know, Canon J. John, I was watching one of his sermons, and he was saying, imagine you get to heaven, and Obadiah was like, hey, did you like my book? And you're like, what book? So I just don't want to embarrass myself when I see Prophet Micah in heaven and he's like, did you really like my book? And I'm like, I'm not sure. It's somewhere between Amos and somewhere else. So, you know, Micah means who is like the Lord, and I will study that book this year. And, you know, hopefully if you haven't read it, you will go and look in there too. I think it's same message, different prophet, the Israel, people of Israel being naughty again, so they've had to send another prophet to tell them off. But, you know, I'm sure we can be enriched by every single word in the Bible. Isn't that right? So, we are looking at Spirit Over Appetite. That's the name of today's sermon. And we're going to be looking at self-control in our eating habits and reflect on why, you know, it is good to apply self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Thank you to the lovely ladies that read this morning. Self-control being a fruit of the Spirit and why we need to apply it to what we eat and what we do in our day-to-day lives. So I'm just going to remind you that God is interested in every single part of your health, and eating is one of them. And, you know, what we eat, why we eat it, when we eat it, how we eat it, doesn't only affect our bodies, but also our spiritual lives. So that's what we're focusing on today, self-control. The discipline given to us by the Holy Spirit, and which enables us to resist the flesh. You know, Paul spoke about beating the flesh into submission. It's not meant to be easy. It's tough. It's very tough. So, you know, the urge to eat, we eat every day, right? Or is anyone fasting at the moment? No one's fasting? The way you're looking at me seems like you haven't eaten. Are we eating every day?
Yes,
thank you. And we eat every day because that's how we're meant to survive. God made us to eat. We're meant to eat. And the reason why we tend to have issues with self-control is because we need to eat every single day. Because appetite isn't the problem. God gave us an appetite. We need to nourish our bodies. He gave us the wonderful, the earth is looking a bit somehow right now, but things grow from the ground. God has given us dominion over many things and stewardship, actually, over the earth. And we can eat from the things that he has given us. And so, you know, the scripture warns us about self-control. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that a person without self-control is like a city with broken walls. It's exposed, It's vulnerable and it's easily influenced, and we don't want to be like that. And with our appetites unchecked, it can leave us spiritually and physically unprotected. We don't want to be slaves to food. It's a very dangerous place to be. And while it's true that God gave us all things to enjoy, which I believe that he has, because, you know, we've never preached here to say, you know, never eat sugar again in your life, never touch a grain of salt, don't ever touch fat. There are things that God gave us to enjoy. We're not here to suffer. We're here temporarily, but we're not here to suffer and not enjoy ourselves. But tell me, church, have you ever eaten more than you should have? Yeah, Christmas ring any bells? My plate was so full, it was embarrassing. I wouldn't take a picture and post it online. It's on my phone, but it's not online. And you're going to have to pry my phone out of my hands if you want to see a picture of it. But, you know, to the point that you're uncomfortably full. We do it a lot, right? And there are so many reasons. Tell me some reasons why you probably ate till you were uncomfortably full. Tasty, greed, anything else? Any children in the house get told by their parents that they need to finish everything that's on their plate? Is that always necessary? I mean, that's for you to discuss with your parents in your household. But, you know, sometimes it's like, I remember growing up, my dad would say to me, there are children starving back home. So it's like, oh, okay, I've got to be grateful and I've got to finish this rice and stew with the kidney and the shaki that he's put on this plate. And I am full up, but I don't want to get in trouble, kind of thing. So there are many reasons why we have eaten more than we should have. A lot of the time our emotions fuel us. And we're not meant to be emotionally led, are we? So overeating can suggest, not all the time, because a lot of us have self-control, but sometimes it can suggest a lack of self-control, a moment where the appetite leads rather than the spirit. Self-control, being a fruit of the spirit, is there for a reason, along with love, patience, anything else? Other fruit of the spirit? Long-suffering. Joy, I can't hear that. Gentleness, thank you. So all of those things are fruit of the Spirit. And sometimes, I know it's not literal fruit, but when we think about it, sometimes our fruit aren't very watered. They're very tiny, weeny, weeny, and we haven't watered them. We haven't fed our spirit, man. And that's why appetite ends up coming first. Our aim, like I said earlier, is mastery over food and not allowing food to master us. And a lot of us have become desensitized. And it's very normal. You go to a restaurant. Also, you don't want to waste your money. That's another one. I don't know if anyone said that. You go to a restaurant. You pay for a plate. You don't want to waste the money. Some people feel we're going to eat it all. My dad used to say it as well. Chinese buffets. I don't know if anyone remembers the really popular one, Wing Wah Buffet in Greenwich. I think it was in Greenwich. Yeah. My dad would say, don't waste my money. There you go. So you eat your weight's worth in the food at Wing Wah Buffet. But, you know, we become desensitized to it because it's a place of enjoyment. You know, when you go without, you treat yourself to food. But we want to learn to walk in the spirit. Because if you think about the pattern, the lack of self-control that leads to overeating, what happens when we overeat? What was that? I can hear so many things. I'm probably hearing you're filling up. If we're not taking care of ourselves, usually what we're overeating isn't fruit and vegetable, is it? It's not usually fruits and vegetables. It's not broccoli. It's something quite, maybe a bit sugary, something a bit salty, pastries, cakes. Those are the things we tend to be overeating, refined carbohydrates. So it leads to poorer health outcomes. So if we're not taking care of our bodies, we're damaging the vehicle that God has given us temporarily, might I add, and therefore we are knocking years off of our life and also taking time out of what we should be doing to fulfill God's purpose and his plan for our lives and for other people out there. So when we walk in the Spirit, it needs to apply to every single area of our lives. And Galatians 5:16 reminds us that when we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. The battle doesn't disappear. It just means it becomes powerless. Do you get what I mean? The battle's always going to be there. No matter how much we beat our flesh into submission, so long as we're still in these bodies on this planet, we're always going to battle. We won't battle anymore when we fulfill, you know, God's plans for our lives and we take ourselves to heaven. Ooh. Amen. So, you know, Paul talks about this very clearly in 1 Corinthians, which was read earlier. And he disciplines his body and brings it into submission. His body was not the master, it was the servant. So when we talk about our bodies, which are temples of the Holy Spirit, what does that look like when we go out? What does it look like when we're bored at home? What does it look like when we're serving others? And, you know, sometimes people want to serve you more when you go to somebody's house. They want to treat you. They want to show you that, you know, they're showing their love through food. So we're encouraged to keep in step with the Spirit. Ask yourself what that looks like for you. Obviously, we all deal with different things. Is it down to the amount of rice that you put on your plate? Is it the fact that you impulsively eat things? So I'm a very big perpetrator of this, but I will put something in the microwave for a minute and a half, and it's almost like a challenge. Find as many snacks as you can before the microwave ends. And I'll eat maybe two biscuits, a bit of yogurt. I'll take maybe a sweet that I found in the cupboard. And then when it beeps, it's like, ah, yes, now my food is ready. But you just don't even account. Sometimes it doesn't even register what you just ate. It's impulse. Again, something that needs to be beaten into submission. So self-control, or the lack of it, reaches deep into our hearts. It begins with our emotions, it shapes our thinking, and then it shows up in our behavior. So how are you feeling? What does that feeling make you think? And then what is the behavior that is demonstrated afterwards? And this is something we can bring to God all the time, because he deeply, deeply, deeply cares about everything that concerns us. So, oh, thank you for the slides. That's perfect. We're going to look at food portions, just a little bit, but we're also going to look at the food and our mood as well. Next slide, please. Thank you. Everyone remember the Eat Well Guide? Yeah? Do you remember the Eat Well Guide? So when we're talking about portions, the Eat Well Guide helps us to remember how many we're meant to have. So fruit and veg, how many? Five a day. Yep, more vegetables than fruit, or a minimum of five. When we're looking at carbohydrates, do we know what we're meant to be having on our plates?
That's a killer, though, isn't it, carbohydrates?
What was that?
It's a killer if you have too much of it.
It is. If you have too much, it is a killer. But we need carbohydrates for a reason. It's a source of energy. So if we're looking at our plates, and I do have some plate models, I'm not sure if it's in the next slide or a few after, but I will show you what carbs are meant to look like. We end up looking we become very unpopular, because some people are like, what do you mean that's how much I'm meant to eat? But when we fill up with fruits and vegetables and the fiber in that, it will be just enough. We've also got our proteins, dairy, oils, and spreads. Again, notice that the crisps, the chocolates, they're still on there because we're realistic. Less often, but also enjoy. Like I said, we're not here to suffer. The other day, I made the mistake of going to Morrison's and buying all of like the things I needed for my meals. And then I was like, there's nothing for me to actually enjoy, and, you know, a little bit of chocolate and things like that. And then you end up finding yourself further back than when you started, because then you finally see what you want and you consume it all. So it's there for a reason. Please enjoy what you're eating, but also maintain the portion sizes. Next slide, please. So here we go. This is a weight management plate. We have a lot more online, and I've brought a few more examples that you can see after service. So as you can see, there's a drumstick. Some of you may agree that that's not enough, but it is enough. There's some brown rice, again, more fiber than white rice, and then half a plate of fruit or veg, but in this case, vegetables. Simple, right? Yes? No? So people are saying yes. It is very simple. Obviously, I mean, if you like dry food, you'd eat it with just the rice. But you'd put a sauce of some sort, a curry, stew, whatever you'd like to put on top of your rice. But it's quite simple. When you see it laid out like that, it doesn't seem too hard. But this is somebody that is trying to manage their weight or maybe trying to lose their weight. Next slide, please. Look at that, a standard plate. You'd eat that, right? Too much rice. It depends on what your goal is. So if your goal was the weight management plate, you'd be eating from the plate in the slide before. But this one, I don't know if anyone can see the number of calories. Can anyone see that? It's about 750 calories. Good, decent, hearty meal. It's a third of carbohydrates, a third of vegetables, a third of protein. Again, very simple. Sometimes the fruit and vegetable go on annual leave, and then the gap that's left is just rice. You don't have to say if it's you or not. It's fine. But, you know, when you prep your veg in advance, you'll find that you have it on your plate when it's time to eat. Sometimes we're very guilty. I mean, that rice is jollof rice. That one isn't brown rice. But sometimes jollof rice is made in my house along with chicken. And by the time everything's done, there's no vegetables prepared. And you're so hungry that you can't be bothered to go and heat up some vegetables or go and cook some vegetables. So you end up eating rice and chicken, and that's it. Protein, carbs, and vibes. No fiber. Next slide, please. So, I want everyone to join in here. We're going to answer hunger or craving, okay? I'm going to mention different symptoms that you might feel, and I want you to tell me whether it's a hunger or a craving. So if my tummy was rumbling, would that be a hunger or a craving?
Hunger.
A very good sign of hunger. Tummy rumbling, you are hungry. It's not your emotions, you are hungry. Okay, young people, if I walked past Sam's Chicken in Woolwich and I smelt the food and I turned in and bought four wings and chips, is that hunger or craving? Who said hunger? It's a craving. It's a craving. I was absolutely fine before I walked past Sam's. I was absolutely fine before I walked past McDonald's. I was absolutely fine before I walked past Nando's. And you're telling me as soon as the aroma entered my nostrils, I was hungry? No. It is a craving. If I'm feeling dizzy, is that hunger or a craving? It's hunger. Hopefully we don't get to that point, but I know some people end up working a lot and they do feel quite dizzy. But yeah, that is your body saying, hey, and your brain saying, please give me fuel, I am hungry. And that's also a reminder for people that are trying to, you know, change the what they're eating as a New Year's resolution. Please don't let your body get to that. Try and fuel along the way, because your body gets quite scared and holds onto the fat and thinks that you're starving. So it's like, I'm going to hold onto this because I don't know when we're going to eat again. So it becomes more counterproductive for your weight management journey as well. If it's my 30th birthday, which it might be in a few months, and I decide to go and eat all of my favorite foods, was that hunger or was that a craving? It was a craving. It's a craving. Anyone been to a party and decided to eat everything? Yeah, because why not? Why not? And then you wash it all down with maybe, I don't know, would it be malt? Would it be alcohol? Something sugary, something that you don't need to be drinking after you've eaten so much. And then somebody goes, oh, would you like a bit of cake?
Yes,
indeed. It is a craving. Okay, and if I'm feeling quite irritable, is that hunger or craving? It's hunger. Indeed, it is. Hunger is a real thing. I go real quiet. If I haven't eaten in a long time, I go really quiet. Don't talk to me. Don't breathe in my direction. Don't enter my space bubble proximity because you might be in danger. But it's a real thing. If you're feeling irritable, please go and fuel. Please go and drink. Please go and fuel. And if it is summer holidays, or what's the next? February half term is the next one for the kids. And I am bored, and my mom keeps telling me to go and do my homework. So I decide to raid the fridge. Was that hunger or was that a craving? was a resounding craving. Yes, yes. I remember those school holidays. You opened the fridge and the cupboards about 20 times before 12 noon, looking for food and just eating things because you're bored. But, you know, our emotions and our stress play a dominant role in our eating habits. You're very quickly able to identify whether that was a hunger or craving, but sometimes we don't even register that moment. So sometimes we need to take a minute and just think, are we actually hungry? Have you tried to drink some water first? Maybe that might help you. Where are you when you're feeling that? Are you in front of the telly? Are you distracted? I'm bad with biscuits and TVs. If I take the pack, I'm going to keep eating. And then you put your hand back in and it's gone. Because I was focused on the telly, I wasn't focused on what I was eating. Are you more likely to grab junk food when it's accessible? Again, very guilty. Finish a big shop at Morrison's. Look at the ingredients. I'm not cooking that. Turns at the roundabout, ends up in McDonald's. Guilty. You know, are you eating because other people around you are eating? It's very easy to fall into that habit of eating just because somebody else is. Yes, it's kind of awkward if someone's eaten a meal and you're sat there with a cup of water, but are you actually hungry? You're probably not. And being aware of your environmental triggers as well will help you to make healthier choices. Next slide, please. I think there's one more. Yes. So when we're eating, eat without distractions. Put your phone away and turn off the television. I think where the world's become so much more busier, we are, you know, eating as we go, we're eating by ourselves, we've almost lost the beauty of eating with people, eating with family, eating with friends, sitting around a table. I will take my lunch back up to my room, sit at my desk, and continue to work. Enjoy your food, chew it, taste it. What's in there? Garlic, herbs, all-purpose seasoning, not too much, of course, but enjoy what you're really eating. Chew slowly and allow your brain to say, ah, you've just eaten. I'm not going to send you any more signals that we need to eat some more. Check in with yourself partway. Sometimes you've served yourself too much food. Ask yourself, am I still hungry? A lot of the time, you might not be. Pack it away. The food's not going anywhere unless you have brothers, sorry, Micah, who might come and take it from the fridge and eat it later. Because sometimes I eat because I know that my brothers might get there first. And I really want to taste the dish. So I eat when I'm not hungry. You don't take that to the group chat, Micah, because I feel like somebody's going to take the food first. Know that when you're satisfied rather than being completely full up, there's a big difference, right? Uncomfortably full or satisfied? Check with yourself again and drink water first. Sometimes we think we're hungry, but we're not. We actually need some water. Drink some water, see if the hunger subsides. Can we do that? Mindful eating, they call it. So, you know, when we talk about sleep as well, because I know everybody's entered his rest this 2026, your lack of sleep can throw off your hunger hormones as well. So we've got leptin and we've got ghrelin. When you don't sleep, your appetite is increased because you're looking for more sugar to help fuel you because you didn't get enough rest. So prioritize your sleep because it becomes a vicious cycle. You sleep badly, you crave sugar, your activity levels are low, you're probably going to gain weight. When you gain weight, your sleep gets worse, your sleep's worse again, and so on and so on and so on. And we need to find somewhere that we break the cycle, which is, I guess, why we've put sleep and, you know, moods, emotions, portion control quite close together with the Healthy Church Initiative. But most importantly, carry God along with you. If it is an issue of self-control, if it is an issue of sadness, anxiety, emotions, take it all to God because he's the one that can resolve the problem. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I will be outside after service, so come and see us. And God bless.